Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy 19, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 19, to our guests, I'm continuing in a series of Bible studies. They're generally 1 week long. I'm calling this Recipes for the Christian Life. Recipes for the Christian Life. It's amazing how much of the Bible is written out almost in recipe form. A recipe is something that you can reproduce and it comes out the same way every time. And that's exactly what the Bible is set up as, and I'm giving quite a few points on this. Tonight, I'm excited about this. I'm going to be teaching on the recipe for justice. The recipe for justice. Boy, if we ever need that in America, we need it right now. And I'm going to address some issues, so hang on to your hats, and here we go. Deuteronomy 19, look at verse number 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Notice that statement, the matter shall be established. That's a key word there, all right? Verse 16, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges, which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent, what's the next word? Inquisition, that's a key word. Shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness, and he hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put evil away from among you. And those which remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And then, I shall not pity, but life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. Now, let me give you some background here, and we'll just jump right into it. The Jews are in the wilderness. They are not yet to Canaan. God was establishing the government for the Jews to rule themselves with. By the way, that's what the Ten Commandments were for. The Ten Commandments had nothing to do with going to heaven. They were civil law. It was like our Constitution. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That was the civil government of the Hebrew people. And God was telling them by how they were to go about establishing justice within the Ten Commandments here in Deuteronomy 19. Now, you have to understand there was 3.5 to 5 million Jews in the wilderness. And they didn't have iPhones, they didn't have laptops, they didn't have Twitter or Facebook. It took a lot of work. That's like moving the city of Chicago around in the desert. Try that one once. There are some of us that would like to move Chicago out to the desert. God wanted them to get along while they were in the wilderness, but he also wanted to get along while they were in Canaan land. And God was very specific on how he wanted justice established and carried out. And by the way, God is a just God. Probably the greatest characteristic about God is his justice. Now, justice means the scale being balanced. If you've ever seen a picture of justice, maybe at a law firm or something, you'll see the scales that are there. You have two like little pads here that have chains on a thing across there, and they go like this. And when those equal out, you have justice. And that's exactly what God wants. He wants everything balanced. That's why you can't get saved on your own power. You're a sinner, therefore you don't qualify to step into the balance and balance out with righteousness. You have no righteousness. You need the righteousness of Christ added to your account to balance the scale so you have salvation. That's what the word justification means. Now, justice is the scale being balanced. And there are many factors of justice that equal to justice. Listen to this. This is a recipe that you can't leave out any ingredient or the exact amount of. If you do, you will not have it turn out ever the same way. Justice requires exactness all the way through. All the way through. That's why in the book of Proverbs it talks about a just weight and a just balance. Sometimes storekeepers would weigh things out, but they would have a set of weights that were faulty. Maybe they were an ounce or two off. Even though it said 1 pound, it might only be 15 or 14 ounces. And they would weigh things out, and over a period of time, they would make more money because they gave the person less product, and they could make more money on it. And they would have people come check their weights to make sure that they were a just weight. They would put a 1 pound here and a 1 pound here, make sure that they were just in their weight. Now, America has seen the most heinous misjustice with the George Floyd issue that I've seen in recent days. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Let me make my statement right here. No one knows if the officer was wrong or not yet. All of the facts are not in. Let me say that again. Nobody knows if the officers are right or wrong yet. Not all of the facts are. But I saw pictures. I saw videos. You saw what the media wanted you to see. How much? That was an 8-minute video. How much of it did you see? Before we go making a judgment, how about we get all the facts before we decide? I am not saying the officers were right, but I'm not saying the officers were wrong. I'm saying nobody knows yet. I know enough about the media. I'll side with the officer till proven guilty. Isn't America founded on innocent until proven guilty? All right, now, here we go. We do know that rioting, stealing, destroying people's businesses, destroying people's property, killing police officers, violence is more unjust than potentially what the officer did. Desecrating national and state monuments is more criminal than what took place. Marching on D.C. just because you have a vendetta about something you think happened 175 years ago that you think you need to march for now, let me tell you something, that is unjust.
Right.
Isn't it amazing they just destroyed the Lincoln Memorial, the very man that they said brought them freedom? That doesn't make any sense. Well, it does, because nothing that they have done has made sense. See, most everyone has seen a picture or a video and decided they know the truth. But nobody has all the facts yet. So how do we know what justice is yet? The American media is very good at accusing someone and putting in front of you the accusation as though they are guilty, but you don't see the retractions printed on when they're wrong. When's the last time they came out and apologized for what they said was totally wrong? Well, they're never wrong. You believe too much of the news.
Right.
Let me say right here, right now, I don't know if the officer was wrong or right, but neither does anyone else yet. You say, well, they were arrested. That means they have the right to investigate.
Right.
It doesn't mean they're guilty.
Right.
You see, nobody can have a just opinion because nobody has all the facts yet.
Amen.
Say, well, preacher, what's your opinion on it? I don't have one. After we have a trial and all the facts are heard, I'll let you know what my opinion is. Until then, I don't have one. My only opinion is sticking with the Constitution that says innocent until proven guilty.
Amen.
By the way, didn't matter if it were the other direction, I would say innocent until proven guilty. You see, just because, well, I'm sure that the media is going to present all the facts to you. Right. Let me give you the ingredients of justice and then we'll run through this. Number one, there's six statements, six ingredients. Number one, a wrong deed has to be accused of being done. A wrong deed has to be accused of being done. Number two, witnesses established to investigate. Number three, getting all the facts from both sides. Number four, hearing all the facts and judgment being made. Number five, appropriate punishment given. And number six, people accept it and move on. Those are the six ingredients to justice. Now, let me start with ingredient number one. Someone has to feel that they have been wronged to the point where they make an accusation of wrongdoing. Look at Deuteronomy 19, verse 15 again. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall a matter be established. Now, I want you to notice something here. Somebody says, Brother Josh was out and got drunk last night. Well, it wasn't last night, it was the night before. That's an accusation. Well, I happen to know it was Brother Barnes that made that accusation. I trust Brother Barnes. Well, I trust Brother Barnes too, but that doesn't mean he's right. There has to be an accusation. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean somebody has to be wrong, just the accusation of wrong. Now, that's important because, now watch this, just because someone thinks wrong was done does not mean wrong was done. See, well, I saw him coming out of the bar. Maybe he was preaching there. I've been in five bars in my life, and four of which I preached in, and the other one I delivered a pizza to when I was 16 years old. And then told my boss I was going to quit if he ever made me do that again. Those are the only five bars I've been into, but I preached in four of the five. So had you seen me come out, I could tell you, yeah, I've done that. And as wild and crazy as he is, I wouldn't put him past him. I've done it four too many times. Trust me, I don't want to do it again. But just because somebody thinks they have been wronged does not mean they have been. Listen to this statement. An accusation does not make somebody guilty. An accusation does not make somebody guilty. What I despise in America's media is that every night on the news, this guy's a pervert, and this guy did this, and this person did this, and this person, and it's always, they've been arrested for this, and they present it as though he's already been tried and found guilty, and they're presenting to you how much of a jerk this guy is. Just because there's an accusation does not mean they were wrong. Everybody doing okay? Whatever the press tells you, believe the opposite and it's going to be close. Especially the weatherman. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 8. Let me show you something here. I got a couple Bible scholars in here. I'm going to flip your brain for a second here. John chapter 8. If you pay attention to the headings on your Bible, some of you have study Bibles or different things, I'll show you something that even quote-unquote Bible scholars are wrong about. Look at John chapter 8, verse number 3. And I'll come back to this verse in a little while. Some of you might have here, the woman taken in adultery as a heading. How many of you have that written in your Bible? Okay, now watch this. And the scribes and Pharisees brought him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And they said, tempting him that he might to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger and wrote on the ground as though he'd heard them not. When they continued asking him, he lifted him and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted in their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest and even at the last. Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. Watch this. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, who are these thine, what? Ooh. Accusers. They accused her. It doesn't mean she was guilty. By the way, Hebrew law stated if a couple were committing adultery, both had to be brought and both had to be stoned. Where's he at in this? Jesus didn't say she was guilty. He said, where's your accusers? They were unjust, telling me you had committed wrong, and I just kicked them in the backside and told them to get out of town. Where are these nine accusers? We don't know that she committed adultery. Nowhere does it say she did, other than the accusers. Everybody doing all right? Okay, Deuteronomy 19 again. We have to understand that just because there is an accusation made, somebody is not guilty. Well, they hit me, as you parents have heard multiple thousands of times of more than one child. Just because they said they hit you doesn't mean they got hit then. It could have been yesterday or 2 days ago or a week ago or 6 weeks ago. Yes, they got hit, but when? Well, y'all know what I'm talking about. Anybody else's kids like mine were? Brother Scott, you were that kid. Don't be so quick to agree to that one. Yeah. Just because there's an accusation does not mean there's guilt. Number two, there must be at least two witnesses come forward before you can even investigate wrongdoing. Look at verse number 15 again. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity. Just because one person says it, guess what? It doesn't even require an investigation. The Bible says, or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If two people come independently and say, we saw Brother Josh staggering out of the bar, then I'm more prone to at least investigate it. Could be that he was in there preaching and somebody whacked him upside the head and he had a concussion and that's why he was stumbling. They probably hurt their hand if they whacked him upside the head. But just because there's an accusation and one person says it, no, it's not till two people come to me and say, I saw this, then I have to establish investigating where he was, what he was doing. It still doesn't mean he's wrong. But there has to be two independent witnesses. You say, why is that? Because somebody can get contrary with you and go to somebody and say, they did this. And if you only believe one witness, you're in trouble. God says you don't believe just one person. Talk to any police officer that has been at the scene of an accident and take down the witness statements and how different they really are. There can be five people watching the same event happen, and none of the details can even look alike at times. The car was green. The car was blue. The car was black. Well, if they're colorblind like me, it could have been all three. Just because somebody says they saw something doesn't mean they really saw it the way it happened. So two witnesses is what it takes to investigate. By the way, shall the matter be established? Two witnesses unlock the door to inquire about what was going on. Witnesses coming forward is the key to unlock the door in which you start investigating. The witnesses do not mean somebody is guilty. Let me make this very clear. A video clip does not prove guilt. It is a witness. And a 10 or 15 second portion of an 8+ minute video does not convict. And I'm going to make this statement on the other side of it. Just like eight other arrests, being high on two different drugs at the time and passing counterfeit money does not mean that George Floyd was totally wrong either. He's been arrested eight other times and spent 9 years in prison. He was high on fentanyl and heroin at the time of the arrest. But that doesn't mean he was totally wrong either. Everybody see where I'm coming from? How about we get all the facts? I'm not saying that those things alone justify deadly force, but I'm not sure deadly force was issued. I don't know. I don't have all the facts. I'm going to say this. Where was everybody that was videoing that thing? Why weren't they helping? You got time to pull your phone out and video something. How about you get help? I do know this. If you truly can't breathe, you can't holler. And he was hollering for quite a while. We are not trying a case in the media, nor as rioters destroy the cities in our country. Justice is not gained by wrongdoing. Folks, you know where I stand on this. I don't give a flip what color skin a person has. Red, green, blue, black, white, purple, chartreuse, or anything in between, I don't give a rip. It's not the color of a man's skin that determines what he is.
Right.
Period. There's no color of a soul.
Right.
Now, some black folks got a little bit more soul than white folks do sometimes. But that doesn't mean their soul's got color, all right? Did I do okay on that one, Miss Lady? Just don't feed me them greens, all right? Not doing greens. But may I say this, justice is not gained by protesting, rioting, destroying people, shooting at police officers, killing police officers, just because one person did wrong. Let me ask you a question. Because one person died at a hospital, do we go destroy all the hospitals in America? Do we go riot and shoot every doctor and nurse that we see? What's the difference? What's the difference? You see, Jesus called these Pharisees of the woman in John chapter 8, who are these thine accusers? Why did they drop their stones and walk away? Because they were false accusers. They came as a group to destroy this person, to tempt Jesus, and Jesus said, just get out of here. I got to hurry. Number three, justice requires all the facts from both sides. The media, Facebook, Twitter, etc. are not required to give truth. Let me say that again. They're not required to give truth. Seeing a portion of a video is not all the facts. I happen to have been in L.A., in Long Beach, California, during the Rodney King riots, if you remember, about 30 years ago. You saw about 32 seconds of a 4-minute and 20-second video. I was there and heard Mayor Bradley start the riots. The mayor of L.A. came out and said, this is the greatest misjustice to black people in our city. It's time for us to take to the streets and do what we know to do. I heard him make that word for word. I thought, uh-oh, this is going to get ugly. And boy, did it get ugly. By the way, the police officers were found innocent. They took them to civil court, and that's where they were tried and found guilty of a civil suit. But they did not break the law. The scales of justice require hearing credible, verified, substantiated facts from both sides to see where the scale of justice goes. You have to verify facts for the prosecutor as well as for the defense. Those facts have to be established. A few years ago, somebody stole our church van. Some of you remember. They took it on a joyride, and they robbed 5 different people. They were on 3 different police chases, one in the city of Martinsburg, one in Jefferson County, and then one in Virginia. The one in Virginia ended when they totaled it into a telephone pole, and the guy got out and started running. It was full of all kinds of things they had stolen. Happened on a Saturday night. Had police at the church on Sunday morning. Oh, it was exciting. Never know what's going to happen at a Baptist church, do you? We ended up going to court a couple times over that thing, and I was sitting there in front of the judge, and they found the guy's wallet in the van with his driver's license. You know, fortunately, thieves aren't real bright. And I had to laugh. The prosecuting attorney, I was on the witness stand, and he said, I said, no, I didn't see it. I said, but they said, well, we found his wallet in the van with his driver's license. And they said, did you ever know this person? I said, no. And the defense attorney stepped up and he said, well, that doesn't mean he was in the van, just his wallet was. Folks, I try to be composed, but I laughed out loud in court like that. And I caught myself, went like this, and the judge says, overruled. And he looked at me and said, Pastor, that really was funny, wasn't it? Yes, sir. I couldn't help it. I'm sorry. I think the guy spent 3 years in jail because he had a list of priors as long as my arm. What a mess. You got to have verified, substantiated facts. All right? Again, not opinion. Facts. We need to listen to all the facts and not attribute a motive unless death sentence is involved. Did you know the reason why does not matter? Motive doesn't matter. Motive doesn't have to be proven unless it's for first degree murder. In any other court system in our country, no other motive. Well, why did they steal this? Doesn't matter, they stole it. Well, why did they burn that building down? Doesn't matter, they burned it down. Why did they destroy property? Doesn't matter, they destroyed it. Doesn't matter if they were protesting because they felt unjust, they broke the law. Generic terms founded in race, generic facts of wealth and lack thereof are not part of doing right and wrong. Well, they have more money. They ought to give us more. They weren't as oppressed as we were. The only people that are oppressed are people that think that way. This is the greatest country in the world, and everybody has the same opportunity. Just because you don't do with it what somebody else does isn't everybody else's fault. People are not rioting, looting across America at every hospital and every doctor because one doctor made a mistake and somebody died. By the way, all of this anarchy and rioting is political to let the worst examples in our country be the standard. Why do we want to make the worst of our society the standard? Number four, I must hurry. Hearing all the facts, and then an impartial judge decides. Look at verse number 17, Deuteronomy 19, 17. Then both the men and between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests, and the judges, which shall be in those days. Now, God wanted it before the priests and the judges, and before God, all of them to hear it, them to come in agreement and come back and place judgment. By the way, that's why we have a jury and a judge. And you have two lawyers. Works out pretty well, doesn't it? A judge or a jury listens to all the facts. They decide guilt or innocence based on the facts presented. After all the facts, the testimony, the evidence is presented from both sides, then you get a verdict. Several years ago, I had jury duty again. I found out once I started pastoring, I don't have to be on jury duty anymore. I've been called twice since I started pastoring this church and said, I'm a pastor. And they said, oh, you don't have to come. Say, why? We know too many things about too many people. But there's more truth to that than you know. But as an assistant pastor, I got called into jury duty, and those rascals end up making me jury foreman. No, come on. I'm sitting there, we're listening to all the facts, and I'll be honest with you. In my heart, I wished I could have been the prosecuting attorney because he was about two facts shy of winning the deal. And everybody knew the guy was guilty, but there wasn't enough facts to prove it. And we let a guilty man go free because the prosecuting attorney didn't do his job. Literally. An officer was pretty upset with the jury. I walked over to him and I said, "Sir, I said, just so you know, now that it's over," I said, "everybody's on your side." I said, "But the lawyer on your side," he said, "yeah, he's an idiot." I said, "Well, that's a nicer term than I heard, but I'll take that." Seriously, the guy was guilty, but there were not enough facts presented. I couldn't vote based on what I thought. I had to vote on facts presented. I kept wanting to say, "Excuse me, Judge, let me go down there and talk to you." I didn't. A just verdict may go against your opinion, but all the evidence has to be heard. Just because you think you've been wronged, you may not be found being wronged in a jury. They might side the other way. That's called justice. Only once the decision is made do we have an opinion. How many of you remember the O.J. Simpson trial? I'm not going to ask you how many think O.J. was innocent or guilty. Because most of America made their decision, but there's not one of you that sat on the jury to hear all the facts. But, yeah, again, you only got what the media presented to you. And I don't trust him. Say, what was the truth? I do know this. Later, he ended up going to jail for something else. That's what I can tell you he's guilty of. I can't tell you what he was guilty of before. Boy, I'm having fun. You have to realize you're not going to hear all the facts in every situation. Number five, I must hurry. I've got 6 minutes. I think I can do it. Appropriate punishment given based on the facts. If a child steals a piece of candy, they don't go to jail for 5 years. But I think they ought to be punished. Well, that sounded a little harsh. Yeah, some of you want to destroy your kids with an atom bomb when it doesn't need to be. By the way, punishment doesn't matter what your last name is. Everybody doing okay? Did you know God doesn't care what your last name is? Justice is justice. If you look at the symbol of justice, it has a blindfold because it's supposed to be equal to everybody. You shouldn't base justice off of what a person's name is or who they are, Hillary. Nobody here by that first name, is there? Okay. We are supposed to go by the rule or the law that the punishment says, not what the media or the mob say. The media and the mob don't determine punishment. Justice does. By the way, you'd be a wise parent if you set up punishment with all the rules that could be broken at your house prior to just getting angry and blowing off every once in a while. If you'd follow the rule, say, if you do this, this is your punishment. Do this, this is your punishment. Do this, this is your punishment. You can always go back and say, here's what the rules are. Here's what your punishment is. That's what's been written down. By the way, it's in the book. You ought to be okay. Number six, I'll hurry here. Accept it and move on. Verse number 20, and those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. Guess what? We start punishing people justly. Well, capital punishment or corporal punishment is not a deter to crime. Well, I don't know about you. You didn't have my daddy whooping you. Well, paddling is not good for a child. Well, it might not be good for them, but I promise you one thing. You didn't do the same thing twice. If you did, you got more. You were called a slow learner. Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. Amen? may I say this, we have to accept what the ruling is, whether we think it's right or not. Our reaction to justice could be just as unjust as misjustice in our own minds. Those who do not know all the facts need to accept the decision by those who heard all the facts. The media is unjust, getting everyone guilty in society before their trial occurs. How is it the media can tell somebody who's guilty and who's not? An arrest doesn't make one guilty, just worthy of investigation. By the way, it doesn't need to be tried and retried by those who don't agree. I disagree with multiple retrials. I think you ought to have your trial and have it established. Think you got cheated, you got one more shot at it, and then you accept it and go on. Cut down a lot of court costs. I'm going to make a statement here. The term no justice, no peace is anarchy because they don't know what the facts are. My Bible says in the prophets, they'll say peace, peace, when there is no peace. And what they want you to do is say, either you agree with me or it's not just. Well, I don't have to agree with you to be just. All six of these things together is what brings us justice. It can be applied at home, it can be applied at work, at school, in our country, at church with fellow Christians. Doesn't matter what area of life, justice needs to be lived by the Christian. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me ask you a question. How just are you with the people within the four walls of your house? How just are we with the people with whom we work, with whom we go to school, those with whom we go to church? How about we start practicing justice?